All right. Welcome back to the Doomer Bloomer podcast with Will S. We're talking business, relationships, life, self-improvement, the hero's journey, how to get back on a path from the dark side into a more effortless way of being. We talk about sometimes spirituality, the Tao Te Ching. We bring guests on who have been through the ringer of life, who want to tell their stories, how to get out of a dark pit. So you will. Today on the podcast, I have Elaine Dumonceau.
Perfect.
All right. I nailed it. And he is coming from Winnipeg, Manitoba. He's a fellow Canadian. He is part of the Awakened Man Band of Brothers. He has his own coaching program. He has his own community. And he is just a guy, it sounds like, who wants to help other guys get on their life purpose. And without further ado, Elaine, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, William, for having me on the podcast. I'm really grateful for being here and, you know, having an outstanding conversation with you today.
Awesome. Yeah. You got me to come out of semi retirement for the summer. I know I haven't really been that active on this channel, guys. Which is okay. I've spent some time on myself working on the Tao Te Ching and my own spirituality. And that's sometimes what you have to do. You have to go a little bit into a monk mode. That's what I call it anyways. And then you come back stronger and you can hit harder and faster, you know? And, I think Elaine, you probably would agree with that. I've looked at your men's mentorship group. It seems like you guys meet on Wednesday nights. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We meet the second and the fourth Wednesday of the month. And so that means tomorrow night we're getting together, depending on when this goes. Yeah, the second Wednesday of the month.
And what sort of things do you talk about, Elaine, when you get into these meetings?
Yeah, so I built a program for us, for the Band of Brothers, that we have a different theme and a topic each month. So this month we're talking about from self-sabotage to self-mastery. And really based this work on the book, The Mountain Is You, by Brianna Weiss, who talks about in there about how we're our own worst enemies. And how for a lot of us, and especially as I have been involved with men's work now for a few years, that for guys, we really had it, you know, ingrained in us at a very young age about how we just can't necessarily express who we are. Like, especially, you know, and I've raised two boys. And so I know what it's like when they're full of energy and you're trying to manage them and your own self. It's because guess what? When you have kids, there's no owner's manual. So you just got to figure it out. And so we get repressed, right? We don't recognize just how much we're doing that to ourselves. So this month we're focusing on that. And we also focus on a virtue of the month. And so we're our virtue this month to coincide with the self-sabotage is all about the brotherhood and finding other like-minded men to be able to work with and through things. And I think that's the, you know, really, truly, and you talk a lot about the hero's quest or the hero's journey in your program. I think it's so important that I think we're all in that every day. And I think it's repetitive. It's an ongoing cycle. It's not like you do it once. It's not a 90-minute movie, right? It happens all the time. And, you know, we get into those phases. So we're focusing on that this month. And so that's how, that's really what the program's about.
Okay. And just let me back up. What was the name of the book that you guys are focusing on?
Yeah, so this month's book is called The Mountain Is You.
The Mountain Is You. Okay, I will link that in the description for people. Yeah. And how did you come to be doing this work? Because it's not, it doesn't sound like you've been doing this work just for the last couple of years, I guess. So where did your hero's journey start, begin, middle? I mean, we can't capture it all, but let's kind of get of a, like a 30,000 feet view of Elaine. Let's say that.
100%. No. Yeah, for sure. No worries. So, you know, really to culminate things, is that, I'm involved in my second marriage. I got married at a very young age, and, that's where my two children came from. They're my high school sweetheart. You know, really fast forward, went through a real tough time in my early 30s where I had lots of success in my life. I was a professional chef at the time. You know, I competed in the Culinary Olympics, and this was long before there was a food TV network and chefing was cool and, you know, Bobby Flay was around and all that stuff. And so, and it was very much a very macho type of environment. And I found myself that as my life transitioned into my current marriage, that the work that I thought I had put in from reading books, attending courses, and spending all this time was really just a mental aspect of my life. And I didn't really internalize it and embody it. And so what ended up by happening is I almost lost my second marriage due to some infidelity on my part. And it was only because of the strength of my wife that it could see the greater man in me, that it gave me the opportunity to revisit who I am and was as a man. And so one of the things that really ultimately happened was I had to start to take ownership for who I was, for where I was, and for who I wanted to become. Because up until that point, I just gave that power away to somebody else, allowed someone else to define it. And then when her dad passed away, and he was an extremely close friend of mine, and we hung out all the time, and he's a big Yankees fan, so we'd always drive down to Minneapolis whenever the Yankees were in town. And when he passed away, and I was the one that ended up by finding him in a not a great situation, my heart just died.
Yeah, I feel that through the microphone. You know, I felt the same way when my grandpa died, because I was a lot closer to my grandpa than I was my own dad. So,
So, you know, and it's this, I don't think before I started doing men's work that I could do what I'm doing right now. It would have been easier to go to work, forget about it, and just hunker down and, you know, and just push it aside and just repress it. And that's why when those two things happened, I just knew I needed to change. I needed to change who I was. And I knew from my, at least here in Manitoba and in Winnipeg, there are no places for men to go and get and talk about this kind of stuff. I've gone to grief counseling and I've done that work, but it's a different environment when you can be in a group, a circle with other men who are going through something similar or have had that experience or not yet, and to be able to be present like you are doing today, William, and being able to create, hold space for someone else, another man, to be as vulnerable as they can. And I think the world needs that so much more today. And I think what I believed as who I was in my identity being wrapped up in, you know, whether it's a action hero or a sports figure or these things that really don't embody anything. There may be attributes, don't get me wrong, there's still attributes and qualities that they brought, but it doesn't hold anything because it's not real. I can't go out and I can't touch my favorite sports player. I can't go out and touch and spend time and really get to know that. And the thing is that when we get into this, you know, this idol worship or guru worshiping, the challenge is that the closer we get to them, we start to see the flaws and the warts that they are. And so then that really takes away. So a lot of the focus on my work is to make sure that guys are aware that, thank you for spending time with me and doing this work through the Band of Brothers, but I'm not your guru. I help guide some of the conversation. I help maybe point you in a direction that maybe you hadn't considered, opportunity for perspective. But it's your work to do. And in support of that, then as brothers, we'll do that together.
Do you consider yourself more of a conduit or a facilitator than an actual coach? Because I really personally myself don't like the word coach, because it puts people at a higher level than the person below. Like, it creates a relationship or dynamic where there's a person who is above and below. And I don't really agree with it. I've had coaching in the past, thinking it would help me. And then it's like you just said before, when you get closer to that person, you realize that they don't really have the answers. You know, just because somebody went to school or had a liberal arts degree or a psychology degree or, you know, some sort of classical training, it doesn't mean that they're qualified necessarily to help you, you know. And I think we're on the same page in that the Doomer Bloomers was never really about coaching. It's more about bringing together like-minded people who have been through similar dark situations and places and want to work towards a better future for themselves and humanity. That's the vision that I have for it, right? And I consider myself more of a facilitator, or I prefer the word mentor, but I don't look at myself as a classical coach. I don't look at myself like that, because it's like you just said a few minutes before, you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I have a methodology and a way of thinking that works for me personally, but having a cookie cutter for other people's situations is not going to work, right? Because we're all very unique individuals, right? We're moving from a place of humanity to individuality, right? Mm-hmm. And individuals coming together to form more tribes, right? Yeah. It's just like thinking of people from a city dwelling versus a rural dwelling. They're going to have very different ways of thinking and processing information and the world, right? And the other part of it is, Elaine, is we're never necessarily the same person all of the time. We're different peoples in different situations and different times of our lives. If I look back on my life when I was 24 versus 28 versus now 32, the person who I was wanted very different things. And it's very difficult to project into the future what you're going to want and what sort of things are going to enter your life. You can have a very, you know, vague, you know, you're more likely to say, I don't want this versus I want this, right? Because you have past experiences saying that these are the things that were toxic in my past and I don't want those toxic things anymore. So that's, you know, bad friends, bad relationships, bad modalities of thinking. I don't really want to hijack the conversation here, but it's when I started applying more of a holistic view on the world, rather than saying this is black, this is white, I am good, I am bad. I came to a very clear realization is that you just have to be here in the moment now, and the rest of it usually takes care of itself, you know? And I think what a lot of people don't do is they don't necessarily spend a lot of time by themselves, you know, just actually being with their own feeling and their own being. Mm-hmm. Until you've actually sat through the bad feelings, or I don't even want to say feeling, just feel the emotion. Like my dad calls it the emotion ocean. Mm-hmm. Until you've been hit by multiple waves of emotion oceans and actually like wrung them out through your own processes and cleanse some of the modalities of thinking that you were pre-programmed since you were a young child. Yeah. Right? Until I let go of my teenage years, like actually let go of the traumatic experiences that I went through, it was very difficult for me to show up as a complete person or a man, if you will, mm-hmm. because there was still an internal child in there dealing with issues that hadn't been processed for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. But through a string of, I wouldn't say bad coincidence, but through a string of incidents that happened to me in the last 2 years, I have been forced to confront those things, good or bad. And now I am actually able to show up on podcasts like this and connect with other men like yourself doing the similar work, going like, okay, so now we have, here's my pin over here in British Columbia. There's Elaine's pin over there in Manitoba. Okay. Now he's a connected person. I'm a connected person. How do we connect Elaine's people with my people?
Yes.
And then, and make a bigger network or bigger web. I call it the all truths or all true network, like of people. And I don't, again, I'm not trying to label, but people who don't do the work or haven't worked on themselves or deliberately try to sabotage others, I call them all screwed. They're all screwed up.
Yeah.
Right. And they're not willing to show up or incapable of showing up. And it's not that they couldn't want to, it's just their path is going to be different than yours.
Yes.
And you have to try and balance that and not get too bogged down when you encounter the resistance of other people, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've encountered it in your life, but I have dealt with energy vampires for a very long time, and I know how to spot them now.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, it's just important for me personally. I try to protect my own energy as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And when I enthusiastically want to show up and do something, that's when I'm the most present and the most valuable, or I present the most authentic version of myself. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, generally I'm a pretty quiet person. You know what I mean? I don't like the Tao Te Ching has a saying. It's basically those who know do not speak. Mm. Right. And I know a lot of things about a lot of stuff, and I don't go around projecting that I'm a know-it-all or I'm better than anybody else. I have a modality of thinking that works well for me.
Mm.
Is it perfect? No. Does it have a little bit of tweaking? Sure. Mm-hmm. But this is why I come and seek out individuals and you know, I coming back to the marriage thing, right? I'm not married. I don't intend to get married because I know personally for me, that modality is outdated for my life, and a square peg will not fit in a round hole. I am more interested in looking for a partnership, but it won't necessarily have the same sort of structure that your marriage has, Elaine. It just won't.
Yeah.
Right. Because I know for myself, it won't work. It won't fit into my life properly.
Well, and that's right? So powerful, right? Because it's, and that's the kind of mistakes as men that we make, right? We try to fit ourselves into what society or wherever we've learned it, that this is how it needs to be. And it doesn't need to be there. You know, you look at a guy like Aubrey Marcus, who, you know, has done several different podcasts and that, and he has a lifestyle that I wouldn't necessarily ascribe to, but it works for him and his partner and how they do. And I think, you know, he had such great stuff in there, William, that, just, that we can unpack. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I wanted to go back and touch on a little bit is you talked about, you know, how our values change for, have changed for you. And it does for all of us. And one of the things that we do through, in my work is I have the men that I work with on an annual basis will go over our values and our beliefs, because we set an intention for what our what we're attempting to accomplish in our life pillars, and for that for a year, and then we focus on working on that for the year. And the inevitably, it's not so much about getting that ultimate goal. It has nothing ever to do with that. It has everything to do with the journey between where you are today to ultimately when you're done. And so we do change. What I valued, you know, 2.5 years ago when I got started with doing men's work is completely different today. And I think it's so important that we remain open and are and can see a different path. And what works for you works for you. And then, you know, I'll go back a little bit further and talk about I'm with you as well. I don't like the idea of a coach relationship. You know, that works great in a, you know, in a, maybe in a professional or a sports environment idea. And that's why, you know, for me, I call it, I dub myself as the purposeful action mentor with men in brackets, because really it's about a journey together. It's about opening, like we're doing today, we're creating more space. We're opening that bucket. So more great, good information, more perspectives can be put in. Because ideally, the listenership at the end of this will come out, come away with something that says, you know what, I had this one idea about relationships today, and now after listening to this podcast, I have a different perspective about it. And then I think we've done our work, right? We've done what we were intended to do. And so I think it's so, you know, he brings us such great stuff, and that's probably why we were able to connect so well on being on the podcast.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think it's more important to focus on not stereotyping your, you know, your relationships, which I definitely have been guilty of in the past, because you haven't, and my friend, one of my good friends, John Wynn, actually, the other, you know, somewhat absent podcast host. But he has a lot of, well, he's 8 years older than me. And what he came to, you know, to come the other week, we had a conversation, and he basically made me realize that, or the way he phrased it was, is that the only person who can know you is yourself, mm-hmm. right? Your partner or your friends or your family can only see the portion of you that you project.
Yes.
Right? But if you have something deep inside of your soul or your core or your heart or whatever we are, right? Because I definitely believe that we're more than just atoms and stardust. Mm-hmm. There's something more powerful there, you know. Whatever denomination you choose to think of yourself as, but what I've come to understand is that it's a lot of it's just fleeting. Like we're not in a time of like a human time span is relatively short. Mm-hmm. Right. And what's resonated with me in the last 2 years, especially with what's been going on in the world, is you can't control outside forces, but you can control yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I talk to people now, I'm a lot easier. It's a lot easier for me to start recognizing trauma within others because I have given myself self-love first. And I've only started to really do that in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Through the circumstances that happened to me, it basically stopped me dead in my tracks because I thought I was going on this path, but I was actually going on this path. And it really made me stop and think about where I was going. And it actually physically put me in the hospital. So until I stopped dead in my tracks and dealt with the shit, I was never going to be able to help other people, right? Because I truly believe that is my purpose is to to help other people. And I view myself as a conduit. I don't have all the answers, but I want to make meaningful connections in life. And you know, once again, what the Tao Te Ching says is what we do is not who you are. When you start getting attached, your identity attached to what you do, that's when you're not living your Taoness anymore. You're not living in the way. You are off of the track, so to speak. And you know, there's certain, I don't know, like there's very specific points in my life that I have mapped out and like, okay, well, this is where I made a choice here. And this ended up here. Mm-hmm. And this is why, you know, I've done a lot of the self work required. But I'm also not completely done. Cause it, like you said before, the cycle keeps going, right? I'm going to be hitting up to my 33rd birthday this year, which to me is, you know, fairly significant. And then, you know, I have an idea of where I want to go.
Yeah.
And I have a set of values, like you said, or pillars that I ascribe to. But what I also have come to realize is that I don't want to chase anymore because I've spent a lot of my 20s and like early 30s now chasing things. And I've realized that in order to have, I need to become first, right? I need to change my belief system and be the thing that I want to become in order to have the life that I want down the road, right? And it's, you know, I have to be very cautious because I have a certain, you know, certain genetic factors in my family. I have certain environmental factors in my family that have predisposed me to having not so great outcomes sometimes, right? And I have to kind of navigate that minefield a little bit. I have to cut out certain people in my life, even though I would like to have a relationship with them or a connection with that person, you know, it's just like, no, that person is toxic to me and they don't want to take responsibility for their shit either.
Yeah.
So they can't enter my frame anymore because it bleeds into my energy field. Yeah. And I won't accept that sort of negativity anymore. It's something that I've come to realize.
Yeah.
You know,
and well, it's powerful that you're able to recognize that, William, right? Like when you can recognize that. And the thing is that while there's so much power in it, it's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
No.
It's part of that hero's journey, right? That piece of recognizing now you're in the pit and it's about getting yourself out. And you know, sounds like you have a partner there. You guys do podcasts as well, and probably work a bit. I'm hallucinating here that you're probably good mentors for each other, depending on what goes on or what the topic is. And I think that's the key, right? That's the key about really unlocking that piece, that parts of us. And that's why I talk so much in our work about repressing and why we're dealing with self-sabotage. Because, you know, I'm doing it today. Like, I was extremely successful as a professional chef in my early 30s. And then when I decided to get into the podcast, you know, men's workspace, well, listen, there's some pretty big, you know, there's some pretty big guys out there doing this work. And some days it's hard to get on the behind the mic and produce a podcast or do something. And then, but it's the recognition of it for yourself to say, to stop comparing. Because it's one of the ways that we sabotage, is that we compare to something else and instead focus on the process of how can I be better at communicating my message? How can I get better at, you know, doing a podcast? Because normally I'm on the other side of the mic. I'm in your chair. And so it's different. It's a different perspective to be on this side, but it's also great as a learning and growth experience, you know, for not just for myself, but also for our opportunity to get clear, even more clear on the work. Cause it's a continual evolution, you know, where I always see us as mounds of balls of clay that we continue to mold and shape, and that it's not stone, because stone is, well, at times it may feel like that it's hardened and we got to chip away that outer layer, but really it's to be malleable. You know, one of the training I did years ago was in NLP, and one of the axioms in there is, you know, the person with the most options has the most flexibility. And so when we can expand our perspective and our idea about the possibilities, then we have more flexibility of delivering that outcome. And then that was so profound that I can remember that, you know, 25 years ago when I first took the training. And it is so true. When I think that I only have one or two choices, is that really the answer? Because normally when we're in the pit, we think that we only have one or two choices. Because we can't see past that. We can't see it because of all the programming, our beliefs. And that's why I come back so much to, I'm always questioning, well, how did I come with that belief? What story have I been telling myself? And is that story true any longer? And it may be true in my professional career, but it might not be true in my personal or my relationships. And it might not be true in my financial realm, and it might not be true in my spiritual realm. And so it's important that we have that ability to think past of saying, well, this is the way it is. And while we do follow virtues, and the virtues are pretty, you know, some based through the Stoic philosophy, and that it's an idea of how to help shape your world. It's not about being, says, how can we, this month is, how can we be better brothers? When was the last time, one of the exercises I have the guys to do, sorry to ramble a bit, but have the guys do is, who is somebody in your past that you no longer speak to that relationship ended really poorly?
Oh, I think I might have to join your meeting tomorrow.
and what, you know, and what would it take for you to go out and reach out to that individual? Because as guys, that's kind of what we do. It's just like someone pisses us off and we just cut them and they're done, like they're out. And and maybe there's more work for you to do. And that's why we, you know, we're spend a month to work through this is, okay, so let's work through it. What is it? Maybe it's not a healthy thing to re-engage that person, but what's another way that you could re-engage them without, you know, physically seeing them or making a phone call, but you can lift that burden off of yourself because it's affecting you. It's affecting you. Yeah. Right?
I personally write a lot of letters that I'd never send
people. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, this is for me, but this is about you. And this is why.
Yeah.
But I never send them because it's not worth the, it's more about getting it out of your system and off of your chest than it is actually about the person anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're dealing with a memory of the person, of the expectation that you had for them to show up.
Yes.
And a lot of times with men, it's because the other person, the other man decided to stop showing up for yeah. whatever reason. Right. It's we, cause I think a lot of communication with men actually is more nonverbal than it is verbal.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of the things that we don't say,
yeah.
the unspoken things, than it is the spoken things.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, you know, we're just living our downness. So it's very important to just realize that this too shall pass, right?
Yeah.
Even your, you know, you know, when someone you lost left your life, well, that was the way it was supposed to be, you know, mm-hmm. and it helped you learn something about yourself or to overcome something about yourself, right? You know, so yeah. Getting a little deep here.
Yeah, it's good.
Let me just see where we're at. All right. What is one thing you'd wish you'd known when you began your career? And what would you like to share with the audience in regards to that?
Man, one thing I wish I knew.
Like if you were talking to 18 or 17 year old Elaine.
Yeah.
What would you tell that person? You know, that's a letter that I'm going to write for myself for my 33rd birthday. You know?
Yeah, I hear you. I think, you know, if I go back to my culinary career, I would tell me back then is just go for it. Everything at work, just go for it. So many decisions back then was based on fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of not being good enough, fear about that it's, you know, it's not going to work out, fear, just fearful of being alone, you know, moving out for the first time and moving to, you know, I had an opportunity to, while well, I moved, I lived, I grew up in Saskatchewan and moved to Manitoba to start my career, but I had an opportunity to work at a resort on an island or to work on a cruise ship. And my buddy out of culinary school took that chance and, you know, and got to, you know, experience so much more of the world and of himself. And if I was to go back, that would be the one thing I would say, just go for it. Everything will work out.
Yeah. Well, when you're young, there's lots of time to course correct, right?
Yeah.
So even older too, you know, you think you've come to a roadblock or an end of the roadblock or whatever it is. You're just like, no, this is the start of a new beginning. Just like, you know, for me and what I've gone through in the last couple of years is it's like, I thought it was the end. I thought I was in a, like, this is over. Like my life is over. And it's like, no, your life has just started.
Yeah.
Like stop, like get out of your own head, get out of your own way, you know?
I remember reading, reading about this, this lady, it's like a senior, like she was in her, you know, in her 70s or whatever. And she decided to go back, she wanted to go and get a degree. And so she went and was telling people about that. And says, well, how long is it going to take you to do that? I said, well, it's going to take 5 years. And said, well, why would you do that? It's going to take you 5 years. Well, if I don't do it 5 years from now, I will not have learned anything. I won't have changed or grown. And that's not exactly how the story goes, but that's how I remember it. And the reason I tell it is that's the decisions I make today. You know, I'm in my mid 50s. I just, you know, just starting into the men's space, could be easy to sit back and I guess and not do anything and just kind of coast and for the rest of my days. But in 5 years from now, where will I be if I don't do this? Well, I know where I'll be at. Nothing will change. So why not take an opportunity to grow and learn something about myself, regardless of, you know, any type of other kind of type of comparison, but it's to do something. And that's the, you know, reason why I tell that story. It's about to take action, to continue to do things. And it's okay, of course, to course correct. It's okay that what ultimately you think you want to do, but the deeper question isn't about taking that goal. It's about who will I become? You know, and so, you know, one of the questions I asked guys to fill out to answer is, you know, I'm the kind of man who, and then finish that statement. And whatever you put after that is really the core of, and when you start to do it more and more, you'll get to the core of your being. It isn't about, I'm the kind of man who is a chef, won't no longer be that line. It may be the first time, but as you go down, as you do it more, it'd be, I'm the kind of man that, you know, that has integrity. Well, what does that mean? Well, now you can define integrity how that means for you, and you can start to show up that way. And then guess what ends up by happening? These goals, these other things that you know other people will tend to measure you on, start to show up anyways because you're acting from purpose. You're acting from being authentic, as opposed to trying to be something that doesn't work for you, doesn't fit for us, right?
Yeah, and like I said earlier, it's not a cookie cutter situation, you know. It's more of a choose your own adventure and bring yourself to another level of understanding inside of your side of yourself. Specifically, if you were a doomer, what advice would you give a doomer starting to get onto a path of becoming a bloomer in life, business, relationships? What would be your best advice to them?
Yeah, I think you have to take a deep look at inside and how you're processing things. I think for a lot of times, and when we're in that stage of our life and that season, I'll call it, or chapter, that we narrow our perspectives, we narrow our what our options are, and to really question that and really question the truth behind that, because there is more to us than what we've taught ourselves or what we feel, what we believe we are, and to do that work. And really to help you along is to find those people in your life that are close, that you are close to, that can share with you what you do bring. If you're struggling with trying to figure out, you know, what do I bring to the table? Because there are people there that are in your life, in all of our lives, that we mean something to them. And there might be that one that we take for granted because they're always there. And that would be one thing I would suggest they do is to do that work, and then to reach out and spend time with those people and other like-minded groups and individuals to give you that greater perspective, to help crack open that walnut and really get an opportunity to expand and see the truth and the value and who you are, that you are an incredible being. And that we bring value. You bring value to life, and that we don't see it if we stay too much to ourselves.
Yeah, that resonates for sure. Is there anything, Elaine, that you would like to talk about that I haven't already asked you in this podcast?
Yeah, not necessarily. I would just summarize and just say, I think that we're all on our, and I love that you talk about the hero's journey. We call it the hero's quest, and that we're all on it. And that today is just a chapter in our life. and yesterday was a chapter. And then each day we have an opportunity to write a new chapter, a new version of who we are, and that we are not these static beings. Our, you know, it used to be a belief that the brain stopped growing at a certain age. We know that's no longer true, that we're continually evolving and growing as people. And so the takeaway I would have for everyone is that you're constantly growing and evolving. Write the chapter, write today's chapter the way you want to write it. That's true for you, that's authentic for you. And that'll be the chapter that you can be most proud of.
Write your own chapter. I like that. Very, very poetic. Elaine, where can our listeners connect with you, your mentoring link, in quotations, your website, and your social handles?
Absolutely. So you can find me on the net at theawakenedman.net. And the membership site is members, that's plural, members.theawakenedman.net. That's where you're going to find the Band of Brothers and some other programs. I got lots of free resources on there as well. Like I said, we meet the men's group mentorship program. We meet the second and the fourth Wednesday of the month. And then I do have a mentorship level as well if folks are interested. My handle on Instagram is theawakenedman2020, and on Facebook it's theawakenedman.net. So, you know, reach out, send me a message. Love to chat with you guys.
All right. That's fantastic. Elaine, I've really enjoyed our conversation. You're a very authentic person. Thank you for sharing with me what you have. I appreciate you. I will put all of the links in the descriptions, as always, for Elaine's social handles. The Doomer Bloomer podcast, we're on all socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We do not have TikTok. It's not really our thing. As always, guys and girls and anything in between, we're just human beings having a spiritual experience. So, you know, if you're in that dark place and you think that it's over, reach out. Don't think nobody cares about you. And because like Elaine said, there's someone, you mean something to someone out there. Mm-hmm. Right. So don't end it. Right. All right. That's enough for me. I love each and every one of you. Have a great and prosperous day. Cheers.